Hello and welcome back to another episode of Into the 99, where we've got 99 cards, because Commander is number one, of course. I'm one of your hosts, Daniel. I'm joined today with both Slothy and Brian. Slothy, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well, thanks. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. It's too much snow. I don't like it. Mm-hmm. Our weather is just crazy. Just the 10 degrees down to minus 20 degrees, back to plus 5, down to minus 13. It's not great.
Yeah, no, like next week it's supposed to be, like minus 15 to minus 25. Then the week after it's minus 4.
Yeah, I don't so much like that one. But no, other than that, it's been a pretty good week. We got lots of spoilers, got lots of games in this week. I was off work a lot earlier than normal, so that was a good time. We also got Brian here, like I was saying. Brian, how are you doing?
Oh, not bad. I wanted to chime in on the snow as well.
Get in
there. It's a little bit much. My tire sensors are already going off, and I was like, I still need to get into the tire shop.
I went in to get mine done yesterday, got there 20 minutes before the place opened. I was still there for 6 hours because so many people were there.
Oof. People generally, as soon as it snows, forgets to drive. They start panicking, and it's just to take a time if it's snowing where you are, and if it's not. Then, also clocks went back, so that was nice. If anyone's hearing this and forgot to set your clocks back in Canada or wherever, if you roll them back, do that.
What is it? Unless you're in Saskatchewan?
Yeah, something weird.
One of those weird provinces?
Yeah, so we've been obviously seeing more and more of these spoilers come out because it's a week in the year, so it's got to be spoiler week. And, generally speaking, before we even get into it, I don't like the current spoiler release schedule. It's too much. It's too much product. Everyone I know says it's too much. Reach out to me and let me know if you're enjoying 9 or 10 sets a year. Like maybe I'm just wrong, you know?
Well, I think you still technically got your 9 sets because they would typically release like the 9 releases, but like they had 3 sets in each release previously, and you typically got 2 or 3 of them in a year.
No, that's what I mean. This has been like a tripling of what's actually been out.
I guess I've been out for so long, but even when I was leaving, they were already starting to ramp
it up a little bit. But like generally speaking, we were getting
Wizards be playing green.
Yeah, we were getting stuff that was like 4 main sets a year, maybe something to supplement it. And now it's just like set after set after here's Unfinity. And even though you don't want Unfinity, here's a few Commander legal cards and really fancy Shocklands for some reason.
Yeah, fancy $70 Shocklands.
Yeah. So that's what I mean. Like it's just they've been putting out so much stuff. So many, everything's got Commander decks with it. Like I think we're at the release schedule for the year, I think is something like 20 precons, like 20 precons came out this year. I don't really let me double check here. MTG releases 2022. This Brother War spoiler, by the way. We'll get into that as well. But I just want to.
You mean the human spoilers?
Yeah, there's a lot of humans in this set. It is. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So for this year so far, we had Kamigawa, Unfinity, Dominaria United, Jumpstart 2022, Brothers War, Double Masters, New Capenna, the Warhammer 40K decks, the Secret Lair thing, and the Fortnite crossover.
There was a Fortnite crossover?
Yep.
Yeah, so if you look at it...
I'm gone, guys.
Kamigawa had 2 Commander decks. New Capenna had 5, so that's 7. I don't know if Unfinity had them. No. Dominaria United had, what was it?
Was 2.
So another...
It was, Dihada and Jared Carthelian.
Okay, yeah. And then Brothers War, we've got another 2, at least. Warhammer 40K brought us 4 brand new precons that are, by the way, some of the most insane precons I've ever seen. They're wicked. But, like, even if I'm not missing anything right now, that's, what, 15?
Yeah, that's 15.
It's a lot.
Oh, we didn't even count the Baldur's Gate ones.
Oh, yeah, because Commander Legends also brought us that stuff. So how many did Baldur's Gate have?
Baldur's Gate had 2.
Baldur's Gate 2, so that's 17.
On that,
I'm
what
pretty
I was
sure,
griping
yes,
about I, prior.
One second, as well. I'm not wrong. Yeah, the Innistrad stuff came out in the end of, like, the beginning of the year slash end, right?
Crimson Vow was...
Oh, that's just the double feature that came out at the end of the year. So that was technically last year. But again, it's still the same thing. Even if you were to... Let's say you didn't like a single commander in any of these sets. You still have... If you bought just the commander decks, you're buying 17 decks a year.
I messed up. There was actually four with Baldur's Gate, so 19.
So
decks
19, a year. Yeah. So we're sitting at 19 precons for the year.
You're pretty good with your 20.
All right. The Warhammer stuff is just pretty silly. Like, they put so many, like, mechanically unique cards in them. It's really, really hard to keep up. I really, really like the decks. Yeah. They're so fun to play. When I got my pre-order of them, I didn't even really look at them. I was like, whatever, I like Warhammer, I'll get these. I didn't even look at what was in them. And then I was just amazed that this mono black one, I looked at it and I was like, I'm not going to like this at all. Why would I get, why? I don't want mono black artifact creatures and vehicles. Like, this sucks. That's like one of the most fun decks I've ever played.
I do have to cut in there. So you were mentioning that these decks have so much mechanical, like, uniqueness, and people all got upset about the four Walking Dead cards.
Well, yeah. So these, they're like, oh yeah, well, they can. It's gone too far. Yes, the Walking Dead stuff has been.
Like, people just kind of stopped fighting it at this point.
Yeah, well, all of the jokes that was happening with the stuff, yeah. Everyone was being hyperbolic, and they're like, it's going to be 2024, and it'll be like, I cast my SpongeBob, and I equip him with the baseball bat from Walking Dead, and he will use one of the trucks from Transformers, and everyone's like, okay, you're being silly, and they're kind of doing that right now, a little bit.
They've turned into the memes. They're like, I'm not going to steer away from it, let's just go.
Well, the new set has Transformers cards.
I noticed.
Yep.
And they are flip cards, but they
so
can't.
They are artifacts?
No, they can't call them, they can't say transform because that part's copyright. So they're like, I can't remember what they say. They're change or something.
Let's see.
It's change them over. I just know that they, for some reason, could not use the word transform, and I thought it was silly.
We reorganize.
I don't think it's reconfigure. I think that's the Kamigawa stuff.
Roll out.
That's what it is?
No. I'm still pulling it up.
I probably would have got slapped with that one, too.
Whatever. Convert?
Convert. Yeah.
Yeah, convert.
Yeah, you convert it over. But anyways, so back to my rant about that. The spoiler season has sucked. Nobody likes seeing cards at this frequency, I don't think. It is nice that you can see things that you want to build, but if you're someone like me who just loves to build, having 30 commanders come out in a set that are buildable is rough.
Well, that's 30, or yeah, that's probably right around, never mind, 20 boxes with alternate commanders.
No, I'm saying like in Dominaria had, what was it, like 35 legends, 40 legends?
Something like that, yeah, there was
all,
a lot.
And they're all super buildable cards, like they're really, really fun stuff. Like that's where like Elias is from, Brian.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Ellis. Like, there's...
Ellis.
Yeah.
Ellis Ilkor.
Yeah, like, Ellis, Darien. There was just really, really cool cards in Joda. That set. Yeah. Joda, of course, Joda, yeah. I should have played that deck last night. So, anyways, I'm going to get into the... There's not much of the Jumpstart 2022 spoilers yet, but I'm talking about it because this is the funniest card I've ever seen, and everyone that I know that has seen this card wants to build this card. It's so silly. It looks like a cheap joke, and it apparently isn't.
This is my new favorite card of the year.
Yes, it's Kibo Uktabi Prince. It is 2 and a green. It is a legendary creature, Monkey Noble 2/2. It has tap. Each player creates a colorless artifact token named Banana. With tap, sacrifice it to add a green or red. You gain 2 life. Let's just look at that ability before we go on. This is a hilarious group hug card. Like, there's nothing not fun about this when I just say, like, okay, I'm like gonna get a little bit of life gain, everyone take these like gruel treasures. It's a simple monkey. He makes bananas, you get it, right?
When I hear banana, I always think of minions now.
Yeah. make banana.
The banana treasure is a minion.
Yeah. Simple life. I'm going to get like a stack of 500 bananas for this.
Throw them at people.
Yeah. Get stuff like Primal Vigor, double these tokens up. Like it's where we're going.
You see Dan walk into the LGS with like just a bundle of bananas with him.
Yeah. Well, that's what so many people keep saying. They're like, so do we play this with like real bananas? And it's just like, everyone gets a banana. It's like, I can't afford this anymore.
If you want to crack the treasure, you have to eat the banana.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's getting their potassium in.
I have a 10 mana spell and I'm just over here crying, trying to eat a banana. Just please.
While already eating three of them.
Yeah. So anyways, Kibo also has another ability. It's whenever an artifact an opponent controls is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, put a 1/1 counter on each creature you control that's an ape or monkey. Now, this seems great tribally speaking, but there's like no apes or monkeys at Magic. It's not a very common tribe in any way, shape, or form. So you could go shapeshifter-ish with this, but
I'm pretty sure in the set I saw a ape.
Yeah, I don't think you're generally going that. I just think this is a new cool group hug commander, and I love building group hug. And then it also has whenever a Kibo attacks, defending player sacrifices an artifact. I will be honest, this is hilarious early game because I, as Brian knows, like to hit Soul Ring. So that's what I mean. You could the politics.
You're bringing this up again.
One second. The politics ability to just say like, hey, I'm gonna make you sacrifice your mana crypt or something that you play turn one, and then I'm like, but don't worry, banana's coming.
Are you bringing this up again? Not now, Brian.
Okay. Not now, Brian. It's banana time.
I see people like. Don't go building tribal. They'll give you a little bit of support one set, and then you'll have to wait 20 years for more.
Yeah,
it's not unless wrong. You're humans.
Well, yeah, unless you're human.
If you like humans or soldiers, this is the set for you. And let me tell you, I like soldiers.
Yeah, I did notice that actually. It's soldiers.
Yeah,
a few artificers. So if you really want to go the party route.
Yeah, the other jumpstart spoilers we have so far is a really cool artwork of Kikijiki Mirrorbreaker. Not gonna go over that one. It's an old card. Look it up if you want to. And Cold Steel Heart, which is, again, just a very odd artwork to put on Cold Steel Heart. It's just like some anime snow thing. I don't know. It's nicely drawn.
You like anime.
I do. It's nicely drawn, but it's just a strange weird thing to choice. Put on there. Yeah. All right. And then you guys take these next two legendaries. Let's get into the other stuff.
Do I take this first one here?
Yeah, you go ahead.
Who are you talking to?
One of you go ahead, please.
Here, I'll take this first one.
All right, yes.
First one is Ardaz, Cobbler of War. One and a red for a 1/1 legendary goblin shaman with haste. Whenever Ardaz, Cobbler of War, or another creature enters the battlefield under your control, that creature gets +2/+0 until end of turn, and you can pay 3 and a red to create a 1/1 red goblin creature token with haste, activate only as a sorcery.
I wanted to see this equip some boots to people.
This is
He's a true. Cobbler.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Like I create Swiftfoot boots or like just that. I think that would have been cool.
Something with
Ardaz boot tribal.
If you put something in this deck to get a filter effect kind of thing, like a Prismite, for example, then a Mana Echoes is just going to make this like an infinite combo card, like anything that can filter your mana with that. Because once you hit four goblins, you just make your four mana, filter it into whatever you're doing, and then. Spell, I'll make infinite haste goblins that are all +2/+0.
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this one enables too much of what goblins want to do for not like Mana Echoes isn't a very expensive card right now. I think it's like $15. And I think Prismite is 8 cents.
Yeah.
In other news, I will be building this deck for unspecified reasons.
This is group hug, guys.
Yeah. Everything's group hug. go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna start us off on that next one. So we have was it issue? Issue the abominable abominable 3 and 2 blue legendary snow creature Yeti. Okay, it's not a human. We're good here. You may look at the top card of your library anytime. You may play snow lands and cast snow spells from the top of your library. Whenever another snow permanent enters the battlefield under your control, you may pay a green, white, or a blue. If you do, put a +1/+1 counter on issue, and it's a 5/5. That's kind of cool, actually. I do like that.
It seems
different.
Snow is a fun tribe to play. This will also let you play like the Merit Lage's Slumber enchantment really, really easy. because all your lands are going to be snow lands. There's no reason to not use snow lands if this is your commander. So
unless you're going against someone with that what is it? Trying to remember back to what's that set when all snow permanents enter the battlefield tapped from Kaldheim?
Oh yeah, they've got a few of those. They've got a few of those weird ones. Yeah, I think the jumpstart ones have been pretty cool. The amount of silly power that I've seen put into this the commander like or the asset booster exclusives is also crazy. So to rip through those quickly, I don't know if the Brothers War one is a. The Brothers War Saga is one of them, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. So it's 3 and a red. It's a saga. First is you create 2-tap power stones. That's great ramp. Power stones just artifact-based, but this is really artifact-heavy set-wise. The second part is choose 2 target players. Till your next turn, each creature they control attacks the other chosen player if able, so like a specified goad, which is neat, and then it deals X damage to any target and X damage to any other target, where X is the number of artifacts you control. So it's not a horrible draw, but I really, really like that ability to get the force first attack, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's neat, actually. I do enjoy that, because you can specify.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, if I goad you, you don't have to kill the player who's bothering me, and you're probably not going to, because why would you? Mm-hmm. But now I can be like, all right, Brian, you must attack Slothy. Slothy in return.
Yeah, sorry, Slothy. Yeah.
In return, okay. Rest in peace.
You had him some flowers.
Does someone want to take this next land? Pretty.
Yes. This next one is Urza's Workshop. It is a land, Urza's. Taps for colorless. It's got Metalcraft. You can tap it for colorless for each Urza's land you control. Activate only if you control 3 or more artifacts.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I like this one. I play, like, Tron's my only non-commander deck.
That's fair.
So I like this.
Yeah, very valuable for something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy the art. The art looks really cool in this one.
Yeah.
The next one is one I've been talking about at length.
Yeah.
Everyone who will listen and a bunch of people keep telling me it's not that good.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
A
bunch of people are wrong.
This card sucks.
Brian, go ahead, read it.
So we have Root Path Purifier, 3 and a green creature elf druid. Hey, we found an elf. Land you control and land cards in your library are basic. No more Blood Moon.
Evolving Wilds into Gaia's Cradle.
We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
Well, you have the ability to instant speed. Like, let's say we're all in a world where we all accept the proxies are okay, and we're playing some higher power. I cast Harrow, I throw a forest away and get a Cradle and Tabernacle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has, or he would do that.
I would do that in general, yeah. But this would, like, just the fact that you'll be able to Root Path Purifier into, like, a glacial Chasm, for instance, right? There's so much, crop rotation is played in so many decks, specifically because I can throw one land away to get another, and now I'm just able to use garbage fetches for it, or anything that's it's so interesting because it's going to make your specific fetch lands worse, because if you're cracking like an Arid Mace or something, right, you're only still able to look for basic land of that type. But then as soon as you do like a Colony Heart Expedition, Cultivate, Terramorphic Expanse, Explosive Vegetation, Evolving Wilds, any of those things that just fetch your basic lands, you can get anything in your deck now, and that's everyone knows what it's like to have coffers and herb work hit the table, right? It's what we play in this format. So I think that this just enables a crazy amount.
Absolutely. Yeah.
No, I would agree.
I'll also take the next one too, Brian, because I know I was telling you about this one.
So here we have Discipline of Callus Nin.
No, Disciple.
Disciple. Discipline. I don't care. Disciple of Callus Nin. 4 and a white creature, human wizard. When Disciple of Callus Nin enters the battlefield, starting with you, each player chooses up to 5 permanents they control. All permanents other than Disciple of Callus Nin that weren't chosen this way phase out. Permanents can't phase in. And whoever plays this is a degenerate.
That's rough. It's rough, yeah. And it's in white, so you can sit and blink it in all the blink decks. So you can, like, blink it out before, get all your stuff back. It'll re-enter. You'll phase out what other people... Like, it's rough. Because this is going to hit your lands, too. It's not all non-lands. It's just rough.
Mm-hmm. And I play Teferi's Protection and
it is the funniest Teferi's Protection host. Someone Teferi's Protection, you say, great, Disciple of Callus Nin, and then they just sit there and glare at you. It's rough.
Yep.
Sad day for everyone.
Sure. This next one is Sardian Avenger, 1 and a red for 1/1 Goblin Warrior with First Strike and Trample. Whenever Sardian Avenger attacks, it gets +X/+0 until end of turn, where X is the number of artifacts your opponents control. And whenever an artifact an opponent controls is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, Sardian Avenger deals 1 damage to that player.
This is a great card.
This card is going in the monkey deck.
Well, for sure it's going in the monkey deck. Simple.
Wait, I don't see Ape here.
The first strike and trample on it is wicked, but as well, just like with how many treasures that have come out, it is really, really nice to finally see something that's just like, okay, you'll sack 10 treasures, but you'll take 10 damage.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, right? So all of those, it's really, really going to hurt.
Don't like this card, too.
Huh? You don't like that one?
All my Smothering Tides.
Yeah. We've also got Titania, Nature's Force. 4 double green. It's a 6/6 elemental. You can play forest from your graveyard. I like it. Whenever a forest enters under your control, you get a 5/3 green elemental creature token. We definitely know from Green Sleeves that printing landfall creatures on a commander is definitely not broken, which is silly. And then whenever an elemental creature you control dies, you can mill 3 cards. This is if you can make a graveyard like base, like there's a lot of like graveyard stuff for green, like lots Muldrotha. Of cool stuff to come back. Putting this into Muldrotha is a great idea. But again, just the whenever a forest enters under your control, you create a 5/3 green elemental. You could literally just run this deck as landfall and nothing else, and you would beat face so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, just only because what are they going to do? Get rid of your commander and you're like, okay, I'll play it again with my 90 mana.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one's a pretty rough one. I like it. I'm going to probably build it in the exact same way I built Green Sleeves.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. Brian, you want this next one?
Here we have Staff of Titania for 2 colorless. Artifact equipment. Equipped creature gets +X/+X, where X is the number of forests you control. Whenever equipped creature attacks, create a 1/1 green forest dryad land creature token. It's affected by summoning sickness. Equip for 3 colorless. Let's attack and make lands.
I love it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Make dryad arbors.
Yeah.
And then Sloth,
just doing tree things.
Take us home with this one.
Yes, sir. This next one is the Archimandrite. It is a 0/5 legendary human advisor for 2 blue-red-white. At the beginning of your upkeep, you gain X life, where X is the number of cards in your hand, -4. Whenever you gain life, each advisor, artificer, and monk you control gains vigilance and gets +X/+0 until end of turn, where X is the amount of life you've gained. And you can tap 3 untapped advisors, artificers, and or monks you control to draw a card.
I like this card a lot.
Persistent Petitioners.
Yeah.
I can see why artificers are in this set now.
Yeah, I really, really like the set because, like, monks having a tribe is going to be pretty cool, too, because there's a lot of cool monk cards. I love the life gain being tied to your creatures getting power. And then I love, like, the built-in... I love a built-in draw engine on a commander, right?
Yeah.
So I really, really like this card. I think it's going to be really fun to play. Jeskai generally doesn't have fun stuff. Like, it's... I'm sure there's some fun things that I'm not thinking of right now, but a lot of it's just like annoying. It's like, I'm going to play Hinata. Yeah. Yeah, Brian, you weren't around for Hinata.
No, I don't know because nothing chimed in my head.
So Hinata makes every spell that has a target cost 1 less, 1 colorless less for each target.
Oh, gross.
So like stuff like Blatant Thievery, where it's just like for each player choose a target, that's four targets. So it's like a three mana take everything spell.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's the the Comet Storm. You don't have to pay any of the kicker costs. You can just dump like 40 mana in and be like, blow everything up.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's disgusting.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. All right. So anyways, let's jump over into the actual set. The actual set's exactly what I said it was going to be. It's just an assortment of old legendary things that we liked and thought were cool and insane artifacts. This is going over like when Urza and Mishra were at war with each other and then making their giant machines for this war, like their big battle mech kind of things.
Mm-hmm. And I thought some of these kind of rung back to that one lore episode that I sat in with you guys, and like my mind was blown. So seeing some of these arts, like that workshop one looked really cool.
Yeah, because like the whole point of this set is that they've gone back to this Brothers War time. And let me tell you, this set is what's up. I haven't been buying as much sealed product lately. There's been a lot of cool singles and stuff, but this set is what is up. There's crazy cards in this set in every way, shape, and form. So we're going to start it right off. Slothy, jump into this first one.
Sure. This first one is Arcane Proxy, 7 mana for a 4/3 artifact creature wizard. It has prototype for 1 double blue. So you may cast a spell with a different mana cost, color, and size. It keeps its ability and type. But when Arcane Proxy enters the battlefield, if you cast it, exile target instant or sorcery card with mana value less than or equal to Arcane Proxy's power from your graveyard. Copy that card. You may cast the copy without paying its mana cost.
I like that one. It's pretty cool.
It's cool.
Yep. Yeah.
The next one is crazy, and I'm going to buy 50 of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
at least let me have one.
It's Awake in the Woods. X double green. It's sorcery. You create X11 green forest dryad land creature tokens. Why? Why would they print this? Aside from, like, you can't Cyclonic Rift these lands, you know? It's, I really, really like this. I love something good to dump my mana into in decks, but think about every kind of deck archetype you see. Like, any landfall deck wants this, obviously. You know what I mean? If I have a Field of the Dead out and it's online and I have, like, 15 mana, I'm like, okay, well, I'll make 13 more lands, triggering all my landfalls. It's wicked. The fact that like they trigger every landfall thing, the fact that it's like a power sink to get more creatures, the fact that they're tokens and can be doubled by every token doubler in the game is just wicked. Like, this is a silly card.
Yeah, the flavor text is great as well.
Take it away.
I don't know how to pronounce that word, but we expected that Argothians to stand their ground. We didn't expect the ground itself to stand.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, you want to really cool one here?
Yeah, so we have Blood Coil Serpent, X and 6.
Blade Coil.
Hey, it's all bloody and stuff, so I'm going with Blood Coil.
With the Blood Coil.
Blade Coil Serpent. So it's Artifact Creature Serpent. When Blade Coil Serpent enters the battlefield, for each blue spin to cast it, draw a card. When Blade Coil Serpent enters the battlefield, for each swamp spent to cast it, each opponent discards a card. When Blade Coil Serpent enters the battlefield, for each mountain or red spent to cast it, it gets +1/+0 and gains trample and haste until end of turn, and it is a 5/4 already. I like that ability. It has a lot of utility there.
Well, what's really nice about it is the X doesn't actually matter. Nowhere X isn't meant on the card. It's not on the card. So if you just cast it for 6 blue, you draw 3 cards.
Yeah.
The X is just additional.
Yeah, so
I like it.
Yeah, the X is just the ability to power dump whatever you want into it in colors that generally don't really
have
that mana dump like this. You know, like the fact that you could put like 10 blue into this and draw 5 cards is wicked. And the fact that you're not punished for not is, it, at worst, it's still just 6 mana for a 5/4. Not horrible.
Or if you're playing it in just a mono black deck with the coffers and the Urborg and whatnot, you're causing everyone to sacrifice their hand.
Lose their whole hand, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then when you got discarded your card, you lose a life.
Yeah, you want this one, Salty?
Sure. This next one is Cityscape Leveler. It costs 8 for an 8/8 artifact creature construct with trample. When you cast a spell and whenever Cityscape Leveler attacks, disrupt one target non-land permanent. Its controller creates a tapped Power Stone token, and it's got Unearth for 8.
It's a wicked card.
Yeah.
Destroy on enter, or not even on enter, on cast and on attack. That's really, really good. The ability to bring it back, the ability to put this in any deck you want. It's very, very cool.
Yeah, I really enjoy the art.
Yeah, there's really, really cool art on these like big mech things. We also have Clay Champion, X and 4 for a 2/2 construct. It enters with 3/1/1 counters on it for each double green you put you spend to cast it. And when it enters, you choose up to 2 target creatures you control. For each white spent to cast it, put a 1/1 counter on each of them. So again, it's a 2/2 at 4 mana. You don't have to cast it for those colors, but the fact that it enters with 3/1/1 counters on it for each double green, if you just cast this for 4 green, it comes in as like a 8/8.
Yeah.
Oh, against Havala.
Is this what I'm saying? Enters with 3/1/1s for each double green. Mm-hmm. So if you cast it for just 4 mana, this is an 8/8. Why? Why is this printed this way? It's an 8/8 that can power dump tokens onto other things as well if you have it. But for every 2, you get 3. That's a lot. That's a lot of mana.
So, you know my Savala. Can you imagine my board state if I dropped this with the mana I'm able to produce?
Well, that's what I mean. Just the fact that you can, like, I'm going to put 1/1 counters across all my creature. This is also entering as a 30/30. Enjoy. Yeah, Clay Champion is a really, really strong card.
Yep.
Sloth, like you have this one?
Sure. This next one is Draconic Destiny, 1 double red for an enchantment aura. You can enchant creature, and enchanted creature gets +1/+1 and has flying and haste. And you can pay 1. This creature gets +1/+0 until end of turn. It's a dragon in addition to its other type, and when enchanted creature dies, return Draconic Destiny to its owner's hand.
Yeah. I like this one. I like this enchantment a lot. I'm probably going to put this into like Kama style decks, but it's just a recurring one. But late game, you can roll someone with your commander with this. That fire breathing, the flying, the haste, it comes out of nowhere that you're not going to see it coming.
Not if you've already watched it come in 3 times.
Yeah, true, I guess. I wanted you to take this next one, Brian, because I thought you would like it knowing you want to re-put together like the Mogus kind of stuff.
Yeah, so we have Gix, Yawgmoth Praetor, 1/2 black, legendary creature, Phyrexian Praetor. Whenever a creature deals combat damage to one of your opponents, its controller may pay 1 life. If they do, they draw a card. 4 black, discard X cards, exile the top X cards of target opponent's library. You may play lands and cast spells from among cards exiled this way without paying their mana value or mana cost. Do you know what? I really like that, being able to take lands from the other people's deck, because I always felt that with Mogus, just being in black red, I couldn't really ever ramp, or I was missing land drop sometimes. This one might actually be useful. I do like that, actually.
This doesn't specify this turn.
Oh, it's a 3/3, FYI.
Yeah, this doesn't specify this turn. This just lets you power dump that stuff into it, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're like, you're going to want to run something like you can make a mono black group hug / hate deck. And it's so funny because like you can fill this with things like Font of Mythos. Obviously, I'm building it Howling Mind. So you know what I mean? Like if you just start putting these things into it, Juniper Orrery. So every time you're discarding your hand, I throw away 5 cards a turn and then I get 5 cards from Brian's. I can play lands. I can play spells without mana cost. I love stuff like this.
Yeah. I wonder who else would go in this deck. What other commander have you made that that flies the communist flag?
Oh, the Turgrid? Yeah, I'd probably put Turgrid in this. To take things. Yeah, I think that this is just such a really, really cool card. I really like its top ability, too. I would build this just for that top ability. The controller may pay 1 life. If they do, everyone's got the incentive to attack away from me. Leave me alone. I'm just hanging out. I'm just doing Gix things. Don't mind me.
Oh, this would go in Breena.
Yeah, absolutely it would. Breena, Shadrix, any of those kind of decks. I really like that.
Yeah, guys, like, I'm here to politics. Just don't swing here and you get bonus.
Sloth, you take this one because I have to talk about the one after it.
Sure. This next one is Herkel, Master Wizard, 1W for a 2/4 legendary human wizard advisor. At the beginning of your end step, if you've cast a non-creature spell this turn, reveal the top 5 cards of your library. For each card type among non-creature spells you've cast this turn, you may put a card of that type from among the revealed cards into your hand, and put the rest in the bottom of your library in a random order.
I like that a lot. Really, really good to fill with our instants, artifacts, sorcery kind of thing. I like that.
Yeah, I really like this one.
So this next one is In the Trenches. It is 1W for what is arguably the worst mythic I have ever seen printed. I have possibly never seen a worse card than this. It's just a generic anthem of creatures you control get 1/1. Then it has pay 5 and a white, exile target non-land permanent you don't control until it leaves the battlefield. If it ended there, that would be not horrible. They staple on, activate only as a sorcery. And you know what? I could still get behind it. I could be like, you know what? All right, I get it. It's non-land permanent. And only once. You can only do it one time. This is a junk mythic. This is like not even a quarter. Like, this is one of the worst cards I've ever seen.
They needed to reprint something because they banned Crusade. Like, they needed another anthem to come back.
What an insanely bad card. To get one card to blank once at sorcery speed and only until you remove this is 9 mana? Like, the joke is that white sucks, but come on.
At least try to hide it a little bit.
Like this is, again, if it was like only once a turn, sure, I can get behind that.
They might have been listening to you, Dan, and they're like, oh, white's overpowered here.
Only once a turn, sure, I can get behind that one. Only a sorcery, right? But like both. Yeah, only once makes this card garbage. It's just not playable.
Yep.
Now, if they had stapled on something like at the beginning of your end step, you may exile it and have it return so that you could like do it again next turn and you could use it as a blink enabler. Sure, I'd like that, but this is a garbage card and anyone who gets it is going to feel bad.
Yeah.
Like again, let's just like roll back up to Awaken the Woods. And it's just like, hey, you can make a ton of land cards and it's playable in like every archetype. Then we go to like something like Clay Champion. It's just like, hey, do you want an 8/8 for 4 mana? And I'm like, all right, I could get behind that. And then they're like, 1 exile, sorcery speed 1 time. Your creatures will get 1/1, 9 mana. Best I can do. See, like,
you got the really awesome mono green one. You've got the really awesome 8 mana for 4 if it's in green.
This, what's and it called? The Gix, one Gix is also like a killer card. Like, let's look at the exact same thing. Gix is a 3-cost one. Mm-hmm. In the Trenches Gix is a 3-cost one. What are you going to be happy to pull in a pack? Right?
Even with the 7-cost ability on Gix, it's so much more worth it.
I have to say, I think they wasted the art on this card.
It's very cool artwork. And it could have been a very cool card if their brains worked.
If it didn't say only once.
Yeah. All right, someone take the next one, and then I must talk about the card after it.
So we have Mishra, claimed by Gix. 2 black red legendary creature, Phyrexian human artificer. Whenever you attack, each opponent loses X life and you gain X life, where X is the number of attacking creatures. If Mishra, claimed by Gix, and a creature named Phyrexian Dragon Engine are attacking, and you both own and control them, exile them. Then meld them into Mishra, lost to Phyrexia. It enters the battlefield tapped, 9/9, and attacking.
Yes, that's the next one there, too. Just the flip side of it.
Ah, okay. Then we have Mishra, lost to Phyrexia. Again, still Phyrexian Artificer. When Mishra, lost to Phyrexia, enters the battlefield or attacks, choose 3. Target opponent discards 2 cards. Mishra deals 3 damage to any target. Destroy target artifact or planeswalker. Creatures you control gain Menace and Trample until end of turn. Creatures you don't control get -1/-1 until end of turn. And create 2 tapped Power Stone tokens.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You could choose any of these 3 times.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure you have to still at least find these things, but I think I saw something saying that they were enabling them to be played as a commander pairing. The Phyrexian like partnered? Dragon engine. Yeah, something.
But the, I mean, like, so if you're able to do this, so you could choose like any of these abilities multiple times, couldn't you?
No, choose three. So you can only choose them once each, but still. The fact that you can just be like, hey, like, I'm going to destroy an artifact, someone's losing two cards, and I'm wiping all those creature tokens.
And or I'm going to get two mana tokens or two mana rocks.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
All right. We have to talk about now my favorite card again. In the Trenches, absolute garbage. Next white mythic, though, makes up for it. In Miral, Shield of Argive. This is one of the coolest cards I've ever seen. I am pre-ordering at a minimum 10 of these cards, and the price is not looking great. It's 3 and a white for a human soldier, and I say it every time. I love those tribes. Human is great. Soldier is great. This is a 3-4. During your turn, your opponents can't cast spells or activate abilities of artifacts, creatures, or enchantments. That's wicked. There's nothing you can do to interfere with Miral and my stuff on my turn. I love it. Just
permanent silence on your turn.
It's a great stacks piece. It basically is Grand Abolisher from the command zone, which is amazing. But then they stapled this nonsense on. Whenever Miral, Shield of Argive attacks, you create X11 colorless soldier artifact creature tokens, where X is the number of soldiers you control. This is crazy. Soldiers are such a good, strong tribe already. This is insane. The fact that you can just constantly like double up what your soldier count is, and people can't stop you from doing things, so you can play out as many soldiers as you want on your turn, and you don't have to do damage. You just have to attack. You just attack.
Who's the red soldier commander that like competitive people play?
Oh, Godo's a samurai.
Oh no, I meant the
are you talking about Najeela?
Yeah.
No, yeah, Najeela's for warriors, but the exact same kind of thing. Whenever a warrior you control attacks, you make a warrior.
This is like a slot into that if it was soldiers.
Well, number one is this is really, really cool because it's giving you a very large artifact count. Like these are, it's going to make a ton of artifacts. This is great token creation in general. Like these tokens stick around. So slotting this into decks is absolutely no problem whatsoever. But I'm in love with every part of this. Like the artwork is great. The cost is great. The 3-4 is great. If you're playing the human stuff from, it's not Innistrad. Yeah, it was Innistrad. All the coven stuff, all the coven mechanics where it's different power toughness. Like that's really, really popular stuff still too.
Yeah.
Like I mean, the soldier stuff from every, or the human stuff from every set.
Yeah. Well, no. That one had a lot of really, really cool stuff. For, like whenever a human enters, your creatures get 1/1. A lot of it was like based on like the coven mechanic, which was if your creatures have different powers and toughness, you get a bunch of abilities.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So like Miral just, it goes in so many decks. Again, it's the same thing. Like you've got so many good white decks. How often do you want me to not be able to counter any of your stuff or do anything, Brian?
100% of the time.
Yeah. Put this in Jetmir, for instance. You suddenly don't lose a soul ring.
I want to slap you.
It's true. But no, but that's what I mean. Again, think about like Jetmir's ability of like it cares how many creatures you have. And this just keeps making more and more creatures every attack.
But you know what? I don't know if I'm going to keep Jetmir elves anymore. I think we're going to go Jetmir humans.
Jetmir humans might would as well. Be great. And Jetmir soldiers? Ooh.
Yeah.
Leading all these humans?
Yeah.
The cat has finally put the humans in this place.
True. Like this set is just full of crazy cards. Sloth, you take this one.
Yeah. This next one is one with the multiverse. 6 double blue for an enchantment. You may look at the top card of your library at any time. You may play lands and cast spells from the top of your library. And once during each of your turns, you may cast a spell from your hand or the top of your library without paying its mana cost.
This is going to go in that Nira deck I've made, where I care about cascading from the top and cheating things in and out and stuff. Can you imagine I brainstorm into this, then I have my top deck knowledge that I need, and then this is a wicked card. It's high cost, but it's playable.
Oh, yes, 100%. I think the foil's going to look dope.
Yeah.
Very
true. If they foil this nicely, I think it would look amazing.
Especially that like big artwork of like the full art. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think if they foil just the blue strands of color.
Yeah. I'm going to take this next one because I know Brian will like the one after. So Phyrexian Fleshgorger, 7 mana. It's a Phyrexian Worm, 7/5. And it has the prototype, so you can cast it for the lower cost. as a 3-3. But it has Menace, Lifelink, Ward, pay life equal to its power. It's a lot. Paying 7 to try to destroy it is crazy. It's big.
Or 3.
Yeah. True. Either way.
I like that.
This one, though, Brian, is the one I wanted you to read.
Here we have Platoon Dispenser. 5 colorless artifact creature construct. At the beginning of your end step, if you control 2 or more other creatures, draw a card. I like it. Was that 3 and a white? Create a 1/1 colorless soldier artifact creature token. Only do this once a turn. No, we've got none of that.
Only do it once.
And then we have Unearth, which is 2 and 2 white. And it's a 4/6.
Which is, first up, awesome.
Yeah.
Also read the flavor text.
Here, wait, I think I gotta zoom in on this one. It's a little bit tiny. There we go. Hear that thud, clank, thud, clank. We're saved.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Also, again, with how...
Huh. I like the little minion guys. They just look like they're helmets with legs.
Yeah. It's wicked. Slothy, you take this next one, then I'll rant on it.
Yeah. This next one is Portal to Phyrexia. It costs 9. It's an artifact. When Portal to Phyrexia enters the battlefield, each opponent sacrifices 3 creatures. At the beginning of your upkeep, put target creature card from a graveyard onto the battlefield under your control. It's a Phyrexian in addition to its other types.
I think it's a nightmare.
This isn't legendary. You can clone this.
Mm-hmm. Whatever's walking through that portal is now going to be forever in my dreams.
Yeah, nightmare fuel. Again, this is another one that will look beautiful foiled. And especially like on a playmat, I would love that coloring.
Yeah.
Even if you get one of those foil playmats, I've seen one so far.
Yeah. But this, again, this is a lot. The sacrifice 3 creatures effect on enter is already really big. Really, really big and really destructive in a lot of games.
And it's each opponent, too.
Right? So that's, let's say everyone's got creatures out and stuff. It's make people sacrifice 9 creatures for 9 mana. Value-wise, that's not horrible, right? Like, if I told you, like, pay 1, sacrifice a creature, you'd be like, I'd play that.
Yeah.
But the fact that at the beginning of your upkeep, you get a creature back, so anything like, and it's a creature from any graveyard, so anything like a Sphinx of the Second Sun, Paradox Haze, any of those things are kind of like, you know, get 2 creatures back a turn is already going to be insane. The fact that blue has so much ability to clone artifacts with, stuff like the Saheeli's Directive or anything like that. The fact that you can have like 5 of these going and then just, like, to be honest, Braids might just become a super fun commander with something like this. You can Braids this into play. You can get everyone's big creatures that you're letting them dump into play. Like, Portal to Phyrexia is really, really silly.
You could also do the Mirage Mirror.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Sure could. Just that ability to bring creatures back, 9 mana is not insane for that.
Especially when it's colorless.
Yeah.
Put it in, Osgear. Sacrifice it, exile it, get 2 of them.
Well, and as Brian just mentioned there, it's colorless. What's the downside to putting this into an elf deck? Oh no, I might not play it till turn 4. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that, like, you'll be able to bring things back every turn. Mm-hmm. Someone has to waste their artifact removal on this. You can't let this sit on the board. Where I constantly get things back, even at a worst case scenario, or like a worst case for you scenario, and the only thing that in your graveyard is you're bringing back a Sakura Tribe Elder every turn. That's still really good to bring it back every turn.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, I might just throw in Savala again.
Yeah, because why not, right? Like, again, that sacrifice is already great, but like,
there's just no downside to you.
Yeah, and again, if you have, look at it again, just outside of the sacrifice. This just brings your cards back. There's so many, like, how many cards do you have in Savala that someone, I will kill your Seedborn. All right. Seedborn on my upkeep.
Everyone kills my Seedborn.
But that's what I mean. It's just Seedborn on my upkeep. It's back. Destroy it again.
What now?
Yeah. Right? Like, it's a
eventually they'll run out of removal.
Yeah. That's how I play everything. You'll run out of kill spells eventually.
Eventually you guys will run out of counter spells.
Yeah. Dying. We also have Rootwire Amalgam. 5 colorless for a 5/5 with the prototype. The prototype is 1 and a green and a 2/3. You can pay 3 double green, sack it, create an XX colorless golem artifact creature token where X is 3 times its power. It gains haste until end of turn. Activate only as a sorcery. So, yeah, so again, you dump this in for 5, then you pay another 5, and you get a 15-15.
But even...
And it's a token, so
even,
if you...
Even if it's like a 6-9.
Yeah.
This is going in Aatrox and Nev.
Well, yeah, the fact that it's a token and it's doubled again, because, yeah, like you said, Aatrox and Nev, you've got a 10 mana and 30 power hits the board. I would say that's a worthwhile trade.
Yeah.
I really think these are pretty cool. And they also make some of those like golem tribal ones pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. They're seeing more golems, which is nice.
Yeah.
I'll give them that.
Brian, you want this next one, this planeswalker?
Yeah, I want to call the next one after that. Dibs.
Okay.
Sure. I'll take this one. Saheeli Filigree Master. 2 blue and a red for a 3 loyalty Saheeli Planeswalker. +1, scry 1. You may tap an untapped artifact you control if you do draw a card. -2, create 2/1/1 colorless Thopter artifact creature tokens with flying. They gain haste until end of turn. -4, you get an emblem with -4. Artifact creatures you control get +1/+1, and artifact spells you cast cost 1 less
to
cast.
That's a pretty easy emblem to hit.
Yeah. That's going in Elish Norn. That's
a lot.
I love that alternate art too.
Yeah, it's really, really cool.
All right. Yeah, I do like the plans behind her.
Yeah.
All right, Brian, take this one, please.
Actually, do you know what? Some of the plans on the right almost look like it leads into the next one.
Yeah.
So here we have Serinth Great Worm. 4 red green creature worm. I love worms. Trample. Whenever a land enters the battlefield, create a tapped power stone. It's an artifact with tap, add 1 mana. This mana can't be spent to cast a non-artifact spell. Okay, interesting. And it's a 7/6.
Yeah, so let's take a second. Let's go back. Read that again.
Whenever a land enters the battlefield.
Mm-hmm. Not under your control. Whenever a land enters. Under anyone's control. And all I do is ramp. All I do is ramp. Enjoy your 70 power stone tokens, you animals. Yep.
It felt the rumblings of war and uncoiled itself from the depths of the world is the flavor text. That is amazing. Love it.
It's pretty good.
Just need some war horns there and we're good.
Slothy, go ahead.
Sure. This next one is Skitterbeam Battalion. 9 mana for a 4/4 artifact creature construct. It does have prototype for 3 double red and then it's a 2/2. It's got trample and haste, and when Skitterbeam Battalion enters the battlefield, if you cast it, create 2 tokens that are copies of it. So 9 mana get 12 power with trample and haste, or 5 mana get 6 power with trample and haste.
I like this art, too. They look like giant artillery machines.
Right?
Yeah, I like this one.
It's pretty cool. We've also got Surge Engine, a 2 mana construct with Defender, 3/2. You pay 1 blue. Loses defender and gains can't be blocked. I like that. 2 and a blue. It becomes blue and has base power and toughness 5/4. Activate only if it doesn't have defender. 4 double blue. Draw 3 cards. Activate only if it's blue and only once.
So you have to pay...
Again with that only once.
Yeah.
10?
Yeah, 10 with 4 blue pips to get 3 card draw and an unblockable. But again, an unblockable 5/4 is still pretty solid, but it's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to read this next one, Brian, because I can't even let you have ideas with it. It's Teferi Temporal Pilgrim as well. 3 double blue. Planeswalker Teferi. Whenever you draw a card, you put a loyalty counter on Teferi. Don't like that. Don't like that already. 0. Draw a card. Pretty good. -2. Create a 2/2 blue spirit creature token with whenever you draw a card, put a 1/1 counter on this creature. Don't like that. That one gets pretty big pretty quick. Then it has just a simple -12. Just a simple, it starts at 4, so we're all good. You only get the plus on it when you draw, so thankfully that's hard to do in blue. -12, target opponent chooses a permanent they control and returns it to their hand. Then they shuffle each non-land permanent they control into its owner's library.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Well, I don't play Planeswalker, so you're good. Don't worry.
That's pretty gross.
Yeah.
I don't know why they are this way.
Next up we got Titania Gaia Incarnate, or Voice of Gaia, sorry, is the front side. One double green for a 3/4 legendary creature elemental. It's got reach. Whenever one or more land cards are put into your graveyard from anywhere, you gain 2 life. At the beginning of your upkeep, if there are 4 or more land cards in your graveyard and you both own and control Titania Voice of Gaia and a land named Argoth Sanctum of Nature, exile them and meld them into Titania Gaia Incarnate, which is a star legendary creature elemental avatar with vigilance, reach, trample, and haste. Titania Gaia Incarnate's power and toughness are each equal to the number of lands you control. And when Titania enters the battlefield, return all land cards from your graveyard to the battlefield tapped. 3 and a green, put 4+1/+1 counters on target land you control. It becomes a 0/0 elemental creature with haste, and it's still a land.
Yeah. That land as well is Argoth Sanctum of Nature. It enters tapped unless you control a legendary green creature. Tapped for a green, pay 2 and 2 green, tap it, create a 2/2 green bear token, then mill 3 cards, activate only as a sorcery. I don't know why they put that on. That's a garbage ability part.
I think it's just
wants the bears.
It's to try to get lands into your graveyard, I think.
Yeah, but why at sorcery speed? Why does that matter? Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a fan. Not a fan. That's garbage. That land part, the meld part, very cool. Very not garbage.
Maybe because you have to wait until it goes around the table.
Yeah, who knows? It's not great.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Brian, do you want to take this? I'll take this big one. Urza's silly. Urza, Lord Protector. It's 1/1 white, 1 blue for a 2/4 human artificer. Artifact, instant, sorcery. You cast or 1 less to cast. Great flat abilities. 7 mana. If you both own and control Urza, Lord Protector, and an artifact named the Might Stone and Weak Stone, you exile it and meld them into Urza Planeswalker. Activate only as a sorcery.
I like the name.
Urza Planeswalker is a 7 mana starting loyalty ability. You can activate the loyalty ability of Urza twice each turn rather than only once. So already really, really good. +2. Artifact, instant, sorcery spells you cast this turn are 2 less to cast. You gain 2 life. That's pretty good. Just even activating that twice, everything's 4 less to cast and you gain 4 life. +1, draw 2 cards, discard a card. That's great. 0, create 2/1/1 colorless soldier creature tokens. Again, awesome. -3, exile target non-land permanent, and that is online twice the minute this hits the board.
Gross.
And then -10, artifacts and planeswalkers you control gain indestructible until end of turn, destroy all non-land permanents.
Oh, I don't like this at all.
Yeah, Urza is very, very powerful.
I just don't like his name. Just call him Urza.
Urza Planeswalker.
Don't need to tell me what he is.
Sloth, you take this next one.
Sure. So this next one is Urza's Silex. 3 mana for a legendary artifact. 2 double white, you can tap it and exile it. Each player chooses 6 lands they control. Destroy all other permanents. Activate only as a sorcery. And when Urza's Silex is put into exile from the battlefield, you may pay 2. If you do, search your library for a Planeswalker card, reveal it, put it in your hand, and then shuffle.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I enjoy this.
I had no problem with that one. Brian, you want this Artificer? The dragon?
Ooh. Here we have Artificer's Dragon at 6. And it's an artifact creature, dragon, flying. You can pay a red, and artifact creatures you control get +1/+0 until end of turn with an unearth of 3 and red, and it is a 4/4.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not bad.
I like all the unearth stuff that's been here. It's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
We also have Ashnod Flesh Mechanist, 1 black for a 1/1 human artificer, death touch. Great stats on a commander already. When it attacks, you can sack another creature. If you do, you create a tapped Power Stone token. And then 5, exile a creature card from your graveyard, create a tapped 3/3 colorless zombie artifact creature token. Not bad.
Yeah.
I like that. Power Stone can only be used for artifact stuff, right?
Yes.
Yep.
So not for those abilities?
No.
This mana can't be spent to cast a non-artifact spell. So it seems kind of weird that you would like not give it something. I don't know. Just the fact that it can't even use its own Power Stones for its own ability is weird.
Yeah. Next up, we've got Autonomous Assembler, 5 mana for a 4/5 artifact creature assembly worker. It's got prototype for 1 and a white, then it's a 2/2. It's got vigilance, and you can pay 1 and tap it to put a +1/+1 counter on target assembly worker you control. Okay.
I like that one.
That's neat. I'm assuming we're going to see more assembly workers. I hope so.
Oh, tons. Tons in the set.
This is the only one in the set.
Yeah, okay, so 1 second. I'm going to split this one into 2 because we've got so many. We're going to end there. Really quickly, we'll get back into it with the lands at the next one. So I'm going to Thank you, everyone, for listening to the first part of my ramblings. As always, check out all our content over at intothe99.com. Abyss Proxy Shop, if you're looking for any proxies of these kind of cards, promo code IT99 is going to get you a 10% discount. Really helps support us as well. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope everyone's having a great weekend. Again, don't forget to set your clocks back when they go back. And yeah, we will see you again shortly with the second part of these spoilers. This is a pretty cool set, so I think there's a lot of cool stuff. There's lots of buildable stuff already. Anyways, with that, I'm out. Everyone say hello. Oh, bye, I guess.
Hello.
Yeah. Say hello.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, I'm tired today. All right, bye-bye, everyone.